We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Into the 11 o'clock hour on a Red Friday. The Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up in 30 minutes. You heard from Sutter there as well. At 1 o'clock, we'll head out to Arrowhead. You'll hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. Maybe you'll learn a little bit more about Charvarius Ward's injury status. My guess is probably not. Probably going to be a game time decision as the Chiefs get set to
usually
take on the Chargers.
Practice on Friday.
Also, Cody, during the break, I wish we were on the air when this happened. This really crushes me that didn't. All of a sudden, Cody leans back. Crack falls back almost out of the chair.
Close.
The look on your face was
Save
priceless.
Myself.
So you broke the chair.
Yeah, it's broken.
Yeah. Everybody else. But
that chair's
Sean,
broken.
Fesco
everyone,
and
it's fine. It's broken.
Fesco and Sean sit in that same chair. They're not going to be very happy. And now you're
No, Sean sits in this one.
Oh, because of his back or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know. He always changes another chair. So that's really just me and Bob and I have to work out the fact that this chair is destroyed and now we'll be looking for a new chair to sit in. That's a decent chair, too. I kind of liked that chair.
I just wish it happened live on the air.
To disappoint you. Yo, no, I definitely broke it. It was
that thing's done.
There's no evidence to support the contrary. I definitely am the one who broke it.
I think you upgraded overall. He's got a nice plush leather chair.
It's not bad.
Don't lean back again in that. Look, I heard a creak.
I was testing it.
You can break all the chairs today and have major issues.
It's a bit creaky. I got to be careful there.
Well, it is a Friday, and it's time to welcome in our Chiefs insider, Pete Sweeney, of course, of Arrowhead Pride. And yesterday, you may have heard Pete Sweeney's voice on the show, despite him not actually being a guest. That's because Cody decided to come up with a birthday rap for Patrick Mahomes, who turned 25 yesterday, and it had a special feature from one Pete Sweeney. Pete, you have seen the reaction to your work. What do you think?
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I got a few calls yesterday from some record labels and some agents and whatnot, and were asking my availability to kind of do something as far as a record and try to put a CD out or something like that. I don't know if they still call them CDs, albums to Spotify. And I just said, it's in season right now. I'm a little bit tied up, but maybe in the off season we talk about it and Cody and I can maybe work something out there.
Yeah, because I thought the first 25 seconds or so was really strong, and then you came into it. And then I do feel like, Pete, it went downhill a little bit.
Wow.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you could make that case. I think I raised the level of quality of the song. But, I can understand where people are going to have different takes on it. I know Carrington was saying that I sound a little robotic. I just happen to respectfully disagree. We will see, the next time a rap song comes up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, a refresher. This is exactly what part of it did sound like, at least Pete Sweeney's part.
It's a cake, Patrick. Talk to my man, Big Sweeney.
Pat's the king, the MVP, the ghost rider of Arrowhead Pride. Big Sweeney dropping in for two truths and a lie.
I like it, Pete. I think they're giving you too hard of a time. I want more Pete rapping on this show.
No.
Don't get too comfortable because Big Sweeney can drop in at any time.
I don't think we need more Big Sweeney on
more
this.
No, it's fine. Can I get more rapping today, Pete? I miss it. I want more.
I don't think today is necessarily in the cards, but I mean, maybe sometime in the future I could be convinced.
Why wouldn't you consider it now? Carrots and Daddy are giving you a hard time. Gold saying he doesn't want it. This is your time. Look at Serta's got a beat.
Serta's good to go for you.
Serta's got a beat. You can't say no to him now, Pete.
All right, play it. All right, here we go. Let me just think here for a second. Okay.
I'll give you a second to think of some words.
All right. If I'm the 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider, what does that make you? That makes you outsiders in the cold, shivering till you're blue. I report all to pay the bills, rap game on the side. But the side of my rap game is dope. It's what they seek while you hide. Speaking of that, I have a player to watch for Arrowhead Pride. You may want to pick Pat or Tyreek, but for the second week in a row, I'll take Clyde.
Hey!
All right! Did you just boo him?
Fine.
No.
That was like a damn!
I'm ready to bring it.
He gave you a damn. Damn! I was worried at first you booed him. I was like, how are you going to boo Pete after he comes on here and raps on this show again?
Now, that time, that was a strong final bar. That was much, much better. The last part. The beginning was a little rocky. I didn't know if you were ready for the music, because right as you were about to start, it switched on you a little bit.
It's some phone difficulty. I mean, next time, if you're going to put me on the spot like that, I mean, I might have to come in studio so I can really get the music in my veins.
Professionally recorded.
Next
time,
we're going to do a music video, Pete, and really show these people what they, you know, what they're missing.
No doubt. No doubt about it. I'm ready to play the Riot Room, Cody. So just you let me know when you're ready to go.
I'm sure we've got some connections.
I mean, this part.
Someone's going to let us on a stage in Kansas City, and we're going to show them what's what.
This part in the music video with Cody is what I would pay to see a little bit of.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
I'm thinking it's like kind of a shadowy thing behind like the regular part of the video.
Cody, you have a sweet voice. You know, I didn't realize that about you. I mean, normally on the radio, I don't know, but something about yesterday's tone or something, I'm impressed by it.
This is fine work. This was fine work we did on the show yesterday. I hope Patrick saw it, Pete. I can't confirm that he did, but maybe when he talks to the drive, we can ask him if he heard the rap. When he talks to the drive on Mondays, or then maybe on Wednesdays during his regular press availability, we can find out.
Yeah, I think that is a direction we could go in. We'll have to say and find out if we actually do.
Pete, let's talk a little bit about the game this weekend. They've got the Chargers. I watched the Browns hang 35 on a Bengals defense that the Chargers were only capable of hanging 16 on. Even though they have a good rushing attack, is that something I'm supposed to read into for this weekend for how big the deficit could be between these two teams, or are the Chargers just a little bit better than what they appeared in week one?
Yeah, I think you got to be really careful with the using the transitive property in football and especially the NFL, but there are some things you can take away there, I think, when teams are playing other teams. I mean, you watch that Thursday Night Football game, and granted, it is tougher to play on Thursday nights, so sometimes you can feel like those can be different style of games. But, man, Cleveland just hanging all those points, 35 points on Cincinnati, just makes me think that the Chargers are just not even really, I think, the same conversation as the Kansas City Chiefs. And I felt that before we got that information, and it just kind of, instead of making me think in another direction, it still reaffirmed it. And I just still can't believe, I've said it to the drive guys earlier this week, I still can't believe that this is an 8.5-point spread. It just feels like Kansas City is going to blow them out of the water.
Talking with our Chiefs insider from Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. And Pete, when you look at this Chargers team as well, at the quarterback position, that kind of somewhat of an unknown is just the difference all these years of playing Phillip Rivers, and now it's Tyrod Taylor. I know Mitch Holt, this was on our morning show today, and said, you know, the key is ball security for Tyrod Taylor, and we know when you played Phillip Rivers, you were good for a couple turnovers in that game. Is there anything that the Chargers, in your mind, can do, though, that to give the Chiefs some fits on Sunday?
Yeah, I think what we saw a weakness from the Chiefs, it was at the second level of the defense. So I just think it's utilizing what they have in Austin Ekeler and trying to keep the ball and run it down the Chiefs' throats a little bit. And I know that he's a little bit better an option in the passing game, but I think he's got the strength to really handle the Chiefs' second level. And I think the only way that this, in a million years, and I'm talking a million years, I really don't think this is going to be necessary. But I think the only way it could be a game is if Joey Bosa, who is, I think, dealing with a triceps injury, if he's able to dominate and really wreck the game and make Patrick Mahomes consistently uncomfortable. I think those are the two things that stand out, that where the Chargers could be in the game. But, man, the Chiefs in every facet overall, offense, defense, even special teams to me, are just the way better football team.
We heard over the week, you know, Clyde talked about it when he was on with us. We heard Dylan McCullough yesterday, EB, talk about it. Multiple people, you know, go through the goal line struggles that were from Clyde Edwards-Helaire in week one. If you were going to nitpick a couple of things that didn't go well for him, you would say that that was one. Seemed like the coaches were more than willing to say if Clyde had gone the right way, we'd be talking about a very different story. Do you assume Kansas City's going to give Clyde some time to work that out before they find a different goal line option? Because he got more than his fair crack in week one at it.
I think it's early for the rookies still. I mean, they ran with him 25 times. If there were slight things they could correct with the protections and whatnot to get him in the end zone, I think they continue to hand Clyde the football. I think going into the game, I thought it was really going to be a little bit more of a 1-2 punch. I'm not talking 50-50 split, but maybe something like along the lines of 5-35. Where I watched the game, and I think the moment that stands out, if I'm nitpicking, is Darrell Williams in the open field. And when it was in his hands and he wasn't able to break the one tackler, I just felt, man, the Chiefs are just a lot better when the ball's in Clyde's hands when it comes to running back. So I think they continue to give him opportunities, see if he can build upon last week. I thought he had a fabulous game. He had plenty of yards over expectation, that next-gen stat. And what was surprising to me is just how sure running backs coach Dylan McCullough was that Clyde still stands to improve this week. It is something, and knock on all the wood as you're out there, Chiefs fans, but like it just seems like anything the Chiefs touch right now, especially offensively, turns to gold, and I'm excited to see what Clyde can build upon in this week against the Chargers.
Is this the week where you think we do see Clyde more involved in the passing game, or do you believe they're kind of holding that back for maybe week three against the Ravens?
Man, I have to think that we see more of it this week. We didn't get to see that last week, but what I did learn about the Chiefs is they can really kind of play any kind of football that you want. They were run first last week because that is what Houston was giving them, so I think it all it's a little bit of a cop-out answer, I know, but I think it all depends on what the Chargers are showing defensively. I do tend to think that they're going to want to get Clyde going in the passing game early, but if, I was about to say San Diego, if Los Angeles gives them a similar looks, we might just see the running game once again.
They obviously, you know, we heard multiple people talk about that. We talked about that, Pete, last week after the game, the fact that they do have balance now where they didn't have it before. But you do agree, right? It would be foolish to think that Kansas City is going to become a run-first team most of this year. At some point, they're still going to open things up with Patrick the way you would think before. You can't have that many weapons and not think this offense is going to do something different.
Yeah, I think it's just a give and take. I think the Chiefs have been missing this game in the regular season for a long time. And now, like, the Chargers must look at that tape, and I think a lot of teams probably are looking at the Chiefs tape, especially in the AFC, and they're saying, we got to defend the run, too. We're going to have to stack the box in certain situations and leave Tyreek Hill on an island with this sorry cornerback who doesn't run a 4-2. We're going to have Travis Kelce and not be able to bracket him because we have to worry about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I just think, yeah, at a certain point, they're going to have to respect Clyde, and then all of a sudden, you're going to have these elite skill position players one-on-one and with the best quarterback in the world. I don't know how anyone is going to beat this team this year.
Well, and I, you know, obviously we've talked about, you're like, I can't go 16-0 again, but once they get past the first 6 weeks of the season, I mean, that really is, like you said, Gold, that really is one of those things that becomes very seriously in the cards. But, you know, I don't know that, like, this one to me, I didn't call, like, I think people take it as like, if I say it has the makings of a trap game, that means I think they're going to lose. I don't. I think they're going to win by double digits. But in a normal year, if the Chiefs were a regular team, wouldn't you be normally eyeing this one going into Baltimore as the game that could trip you up before the game you're supposed to care about?
Yeah, I think the early stretch in 2020 for the Chiefs is difficult. I mean, I had them coming out of that 4-2 and then getting a loss somewhere in the second half of the year in 13-3. But when you look at the schedule, I expect them to win this game. If they get out of Baltimore, which is the only other team in the AFC that I think can give the Chiefs problems, and they're somehow able to win that game, I think the next one you're looking at is Thursday night football on short rest traveling to Buffalo. If they're able to get out of the first 6 weeks on it, they're in a real opportunity, especially because I looked at the second half of the schedule, and the games that jumped out are Tom Brady and Drew Brees. And watching their games last week, they feel like, and wrestling fans will appreciate it, I said this week, it felt like watching Undertaker and Sting too late. They're just old. They're old. And I just don't see Patrick Mahomes losing to them. So So you're talking about an undefeated season. The key games are Baltimore and Buffalo. Chiefs get out of that, you may be looking at something really historic.
Lastly, Pete, I know we'll hear from Andy Reid coming up at 1 o'clock, and I guess the assumption is going to be that Charvarius Ward will be a game-time decision. A, do you think he does play with that cast on? We've certainly seen guys do it before. And then B, Legarius Sneed, you feel okay if he has to be the number one corner?
I think this will be a game-time decision based upon some of the things that the Chiefs have said. Today's injury report will be telling because they have to give statuses. If it's doubtful, he won't play. That's obvious.
Yeah.
I foresee it being questionable in a game-time decision. And I ultimately think the Chiefs will hold him back at least for a week or two. And so with that being the case, talking to Steve Spagnuolo yesterday, he told me it'll be a situation where it's Legarius Sneed and Rashad Fenton, who have shown some upside in the past. The feeling that I got from Sam Madison yesterday is now you're digging deep into the roster. I don't think Bo Pete Keys is going to be ready. So maybe the Chiefs dip into the practice squad and an unknown name like Lever Hill gets called up and then he has to play a little bit. I don't feel great about the cornerbacks, but we have the grand fixer in the back there in Tyrann Mathieu, and I just feel like Tyrann Mathieu is the guy that'll get people in position and he can make any defensive back look good. So while I do have concerns there and I don't expect Charvarius Ward to play, I think the Chiefs will be all right against the Chargers.
Pete, start thinking of my rapper name. I'm not good at coming up with that, so I'm going to count on you for that.
Okay, I will do that. I'm something about C Money has jumped out for me already. I just feel like
just immediately bringing, right?
Bringing the ched. Yeah, I think that'll
C Money and P Sizzle. We're just gonna be
right.
Our new video coming out soon.
Big Sween, I thought.
Yeah,
right?
Big Sween.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Big Sween. I gotta go with what works, but we'll workshop your name.
We'll let you work on that, Pete. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy this weekend. We'll check in next week.
All right, boys.
There you go. That's Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, now a rapper as well, that's going to join us weekly from Arrowhead Pride here on 610 Sports Radio.
Someone already on the text line requested a birthday rap for me, so if you think I get no requests.
Think about this. Now we've reached the point where Cody's getting text line requests to do birthday raps.
See?
You have to start charging people.
You got to tell me some more about yourself. Like, I need to know.
The texter offered.
You.
He said, I'll send you a little bit of info about me beforehand.
Yeah. Like, I need a little bit of info. And if you send me a little bit of info, we could probably make that happen. Does he want the falsetto?
I think that's the part that stood out for a lot of people.
That's the part that really hit
I feel
home
like it's
going to
turn into, like, if you ever watch Jimmy Fallon, you know, they have the Roots, the band for the show, and they do it where they'll have a guest come on and like mention a few things and then the Roots will start taking some notes and they'll just quickly sing like for 30 seconds, you know, come up with a rap or something for 30 seconds based off of that. I don't know if you're good enough to pull anything like
that.
Now Sweeney, I will say Big Sweet there
Big
on
Sweet
the fly. Serta had some music ready to go and he gave us a little bit there.
That was solid. The final rhyme with Clyde, that was good.
That was the best part, yeah.
He's a good lyricist.
That was the best part, no doubt about that. Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs' red half hour and hear from Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu about this defense, and are they satisfied? Clearly, it seemed like that was the case, but should they be heading into this game against the Chargers? Now, we know the prior opponent was the Texans, and it was led by Deshaun Watson. Now you get a showdown between the Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans. And Ravens head coach John Harbaugh was talking about Deshaun Watson, and he said, hey, this is a unique challenge on Sunday because Deshaun Watson holds on to the football. How long specifically he does? Quote, he actually holds the ball longer than anybody in the league. I think their offensive line does a good job. The scheme is part of it, but it's really mainly him, and he does it to create opportunities for the pass game, end quote. And it's interesting, he didn't mean it in a negative way. He certainly thinks it's a positive. But in Houston, one of the knocks on Deshaun Watson from day one, as good of a quarterback as he is, has been that he actually holds onto the ball too long. So it's funny to see an NFL head coach, one of the better coaches in the league, say that is what makes him so challenging. But if you go and talk to people in Houston, they'll say there's still some times where Deshaun Watson actually holds onto the ball too long and should just throw it away.
Yes, I mean, it's like he means this, like Harbaugh's trying to make this sound like a compliment. When has everybody said a quarterback holds the ball holds the ball longer than anyone is a compliment? Holds on to the ball late into the drive is in not skittish, not scared, willingness to hang in the pocket, as teams put it. That is an actual compliment. Harbaugh is trying to compliment Watson here, and instead he is dinging him for what seems like a minor quarterback fix. And this is where I tend to knock coaches that we talk about, like Bill O'Brien, he tends to be the butt of a number of jokes, but it's not just him. It's a number of coaches who can't seemingly fix the easy part of the equation that I don't understand. And at no point the entire time that Bill O'Brien has had Deshaun Watson has he seemed to even attempt to curb the behavior of Deshaun Watson to hold on the ball for an eternity. Maybe he has behind closed doors and we don't know, and it just hasn't gotten through to Deshaun, and that will consistently be an issue for him. But a lot of good coaches, Patrick Mahomes had bad habits, right? They just worked on his footwork for an entire damn year. You know, Alex Smith was accused of being a guy who ducked out of the pocket too early, and did, by the way, not just accused of, did do that. And while it was never perfect in Kansas City, it did actually get better. They also started designing their offense in a way where he wasn't stagnant behind the line waiting to be hit nearly as much. It's like the same thing I saw with Freddie Kitchens and your guy Baker Mayfield, Serta, last year was they found a personnel group that worked with them and then only ran it like 10% of the time. It's what Adam Gase does with Sam Darnold. Rather than trying to fix some of the easy things. Like, yeah, there's some statistics to prove that Sam Darnold is good in certain situations, and they just don't adjust for that. That's my concern for what happens with Deshaun Watson. Harbaugh means it as a compliment, but the fact that they haven't been able to adjust how long he holds the ball is weird.
It's a little bit of a balance because it is still a compliment because there are times with the mobility of Deshaun Watson where, you know, 75% of other quarterbacks in the league would be sacked. Right. And Deshaun Watson's not. And so that's, I think, clearly what Harbaugh is meaning. Hey, typically you think the play's over. Deshaun Watson finds a way to hold on the ball longer, extend the play. That's how he means it. But yes, there's times where you just need to throw the ball away. But other quarterbacks that normally are going to have that opportunity to do so aren't going to be able to extend the play the way he does. There was interesting, though, NFL, they put out their next gen stats last week. It doesn't even back up the quote, though. As far as from Harbaugh, at least it's 1 week, so it's something to keep an eye on, I guess, as the season goes on. But he was in the middle of the pack in terms of holding onto the ball, an average of like 2.59 seconds. He was the middle of the pack. He was actually holding on the ball no different than anybody else in football last week against, sure, the Chiefs team. Remember,
we've got a long history of Deshaun Watson, and it was
against the Chiefs defense that, remember, they were what, 24%
more pressure 60% of the time. So like totally determined on that.
And it was 24% more than anybody else had pressured. And that doesn't mean blitz. That just means the amount of pressure they got on Deshaun Watson. So how much did that play a role into Watson not being able to hold the ball?
You would think
he
would be higher
week.
Than halfway through if he had less time than any other quarterback the entire week to throw the ball. Right.
What on earth is going on? C-Dot just walked in the studio holding a championship belt. He's 1-3 in Survivor League.
You know that Golden picked that same game, right?
What on earth? Now he's putting around his waist.
It doesn't fit.
It won't fit, no. What?
Oh,
Champion Dot. He's still in worse shape, by the way, I want to point out, than most everybody else in the Survivor League. Still.
The only person he's in better shape than is Bob.
Take a seat. Take a seat over there. What?
Did you really have to get a belt?
Minor setback for a major comeback. Yesterday, I heard the cackling about me picking the Cleveland Browns.
No, I'm with you on the Browns.
Think about it. I am one historic collapse away from being in an ideal situation. But nobody gave me any credit for that. Everybody's picking Green Bay and Kansas City.
I didn't pick either of those teams.
Yeah, neither did I. No, you're talking to the wrong show about
Champion
this.
Champion Dot.
You are on the
minor
wrong show.
Minor setback, major. I didn't get preseason. I didn't get a chance to go to training camp this year. It took me a week to feel out the Survivor League. I got my bearings. Now I can watch football this weekend stress-free. Somebody's getting a strike this weekend. It could be Cody Tapp. It could be Steven Serta. Who knows who it could be? But you know who it's not going to be?
Me.
Champion Dot.
Me.
So I wanted to come tell you guys that as I have the champion belt and the crown. Maybe you guys can reach this level of NFL knowledge that I've reached and earned something like this. This belt was not given to me. It was earned.
1-3.
It was
earned.
It
was not given to me. You bought it.
I just want to point out, Carrington was wearing the belt before the Survivor League started. The leading into week one.
It was earned. I want you guys to take a picture of this so people can see. I'm the champion. You guys know that. I wish you guys showed me a little bit much more respect.
You realize
think about
that
it.
Only one person can get knocked out this week.
You
right?
guys work with the shop. Like, you guys work with someone who has this great NFL knowledge. Think about how much money you guys pay for NFL insiders and getting expert opinions when I'm down the hall. Just come to me. I can give you that expert opinion. You know what? I've taken up enough time on your show.
He chose the Browns. We had someone here who chose the Browns.
I got very nervous when Carrington made the Browns pick yesterday.
I don't know why. You're on the side of a champion. Do you get nervous whenever Patrick Mahomes has a 3rd and 13? No, because you've seen time and time again that he's going to
convert. Your comeback? That he's won something?
Do you get nervous when your Kansas Jayhawks are down 8 at Allen Fieldhouse with 3 minutes to go? No, you don't get nervous because there's a track record. There's a track record with me, too. That's why I have the belt. Do you have a belt? No. Do you have a belt?
I had a belt for the 16 combine.
You guys are beltless. There's only one person with the belt.
I had a belt.
It even says champion on it.
I can't wait. Next week, you're going to get knocked out. It's gonna all this talk.
I actually feel like you're going to make it to like week 6. I'm feeling good for you.
I just want to say a special thanks to Spectrum for the great Wi-Fi. I want to thank YouTube TV for allowing me to see myself victorious. I want to thank Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, and everybody in Cleveland.
Not Kareem Hunt?
I'll be thanking him too. Nick Chubb, Miles Garrett, Sheldon Richardson, MIZ. I'll be back next week, Thursdays at 4:45. You can hear the winning picks. Bet your mortgage, your student loans, your kids' college tuition. Bet all of it on my NFL picks. I'm out.
That's Carrington Harrison. Apparently, he thinks he's back to being champion.
I hope it lasts a little longer. I'd like the swagger to continue.
Uh-huh.
Because if he loses after week 3, this is going to be very deflating.
Oh, I can't wait till he gets knocked out next week. Cannot wait. Cannot wait whatsoever. So Carrington has made it through.
It was cathartic for him to choose a Thursday night game just to prove that he couldn't get knocked out.
As he said on a show yesterday, he had to go back to the scene of the crime from a year ago. And this time he came out ahead. And so far, just he and I are free and clear for week 2. But yeah, you're still in better shape, Cody. Certainly, you're still in better shape. The Niners are taking on the Jets team. Absolutely. Coming up in 90 seconds, Serta's got his fantasy flash looking at Jags wide receiver DJ Shark, plus the Chiefs red half hour and not satisfied with the defensive performance.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs red half hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. You can enjoy Twin Peaks without ever having to leave your couch. Just order up your favorites today on DoorDash, Postmates, or Uber Eats. Visit TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/order-online. Reminder, coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll head out to Arrowhead. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid will address the media one final time before the Chiefs head out to L.A. to take on the Chargers in Week 2. We'll get to our key matchup of the game in about 8 minutes, but the Chiefs, certainly from Tyrann Mathieu's comments after the game, as we discussed, weren't satisfied with their defensive performance. And that was on, of course, the night of a big-time win, an impressive win against the Texans, a score that looked a lot closer than what the game actually was. Frank Clark yesterday was speaking, and he wasn't happy with the rush defense in particular.
Pissed off. Man, that's the word, man, because, you know, you pride yourself on stopping the run, finishing games strong as a defense. And I feel like we stopped the run for the most part, let a few at the end of the game get away. Deshaun had a few scrambles, you know, as we was rushing the passer when the game was, you know, obviously in our hands. But, you know, it's just finishing games. You know, we give up 2 touchdowns, I believe, in the fourth quarter when the guys was, well, we had them held to 7 points at that point. And just finishing the game, finishing drives, not letting them those extended drives where you can get off the field, you know, on the first series, and then you let them extend it, and then it stands to a touchdown, stuff like that. We had some good signs. No penalties on defense, stuff like that. So it was some good signs out there. It wasn't all bad. It wasn't as bad as I feel like, you know, last year. Whereas, you know, you get a team coming here in the Texans, and they obviously look way more prepared than us, and it just takes us having to fight and, you know, get it out the mud, basically, and to claw and scratch for a victory.
This is exactly what you want to hear. I mean, this is exactly what you want to hear. You heard Spags even yesterday say that the reason why Tyrann Mathieu said he was pissed off, he's like, yeah, it's kind of how I act as well. Like, that's a little bit of how I would react to it. You don't want anybody to be satisfied, especially after week 1 of the season. This is why when everybody this offseason was talking about, oh, the Chiefs are talking too much, or it's going to be hard to run it back, not because
get
it's just,
and happy.
Not just because it's hard to run it back, and history tells us, but they were saying, oh, they're talking too much to run it back and all that. And it's like, no, this team wants to run it back because they're motivated, they're not satisfied. And to me, hearing Frank Clark say that, hearing Tyrann Mathieu after the game Thursday say he wasn't happy with the performance as well.
Pissed those was are the
all,
word she used.
Yeah, yeah. Those are all really good signs that this team, especially defensively, and especially after 1 week, I would hope not, but after 1 week, they are not going to be satisfied. They're always going to keep striving. I think guys like Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark, too, in particular, just won't let the defense ever say, oh, yeah, we're happy with what we did out there. There's always going to be something they're going to find. The great competitors will always find that, and it's a really good sign.
Fine. If they want to, like, talk the game about looking for edges and saying you're pissed and feel that on the inside, great. They can act that way, and I understand why those motivations help push teams into better things. I'm here to tell you, they should be perfectly fine with their defense. They played well. They did what they needed to do. They played. This was the kind of defense I would have taken 16 games last year. Would have propelled them to a Super Bowl. The way they played in the second half of the season was gravy at that point, but this was the level of defense that will propel them to a Super Bowl this year. Top 10. Perfectly comfortable in the top 10. Held Deshaun Watson to 250 yards, sacked him 4 times, and forced a pick. Perfect. Held the rushing attack under 120 yards on 22 attempts. Fine. Because they got eaten up a lot. That sounds bad. They got eaten up a lot worse than that. And some of that was garbage time. Not all, but some was. And Will Fuller burned him for a little over 100 yards. The one guy who might beat them. Nothing deep. It took 8 catches to do that. And all of his was late. Like, their defense played well. I'll take the defense I saw against the Texans 16 times in a row, fellas. I would be perfectly satisfied if this is the version of the defense the Chiefs showed. If they didn't get better, I'm good. Like, I don't know how to, like, linebackers didn't play perfect.
I'm glad you say that.
I'm good.
No, I'm glad you say that because that goes back to, we were wondering, would it take time for this defense to adjust again? And would it be the Spags defense on the back end of last season?
Well, it wasn't the back end of last season we saw against the Texans.
Well, no, but would it be a slow start for this defense? The defense are going to be way behind everybody else, and it was just 1 week. I get that, but it didn't seem that way. Now, there was some bad tackling that we saw across game, no doubt about that, and that, I think, is part of it. But overall, this defense is already as I thought they would. They're ahead of schedule compared to where they were clearly week one of a season ago, and a lot of it has to do with the continuity that exists with the team, on the roster, on the defensive side of the ball, and knowing the Spags system. You're satisfied with it, and you're correct that what they did, that's good enough to probably get them to a Super Bowl.
Yep.
But your preseason expectation was different for the defense than I was, for me. You said, hey, I think they're a top 10 defense, and you're right. That'll get it done. I think they can be a top 5 defense, and I feel like that's clearly where the players feel like they can be as well. And so what we saw against the Texans was not a top 5 defense.
So you're still looking for more.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm counting on the fact that Breland's still going to come back. Snead is getting valuable reps. Now, I guess we'll say Ward needs to get healthy. Mike Pinnell still is going to come back. We haven't even seen Willie Gay Jr. on the defensive side of the ball yet. Maybe that happens this week, and maybe it takes a couple more weeks. So that defense, well, you're right, that was good, but we know there's more to come. They're hungry for it. That's why I view this team, and I'm like, yeah, it's a great thing they're not satisfied, and I think there is another level for them. I truly believe that. Also, just when you look at the personnel that wasn't even on the football field.
I know, but we overblow role players for, like,
Bashaud Breland, your number one corner. And I'm not saying he's a top corner.
Player.
He's not a top corner in football, but he's still your number one, number two corner. Available. Pinnell's more the role player than Breland. I'll give you the Pinnell being the role player. I won't do that with Breland because he was still one of your starting
corners.
But
those aren't the players who take you from top 10 defense to top 5, in my opinion. Those players are great players. Great players they don't have. Unless Willie Gay turns great. Like, they have some great players. Don't let me rephrase. But I'm just saying, like, what takes a team from, like, top 10 to top 5 is another great player. Because how many great players do they have on defense? 3? If you're being generous with the word great. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah.
That's what we'd agree with?
Yes.
So if Juan Thornhill turns into a great player, Willie Gay turns into a great player.
Juan Thornhill's the closest to getting to that level by the end of the season if he's
Mitch
good to
Holtis
go.
Was trying to put a gold jacket on him. So,
or Chiefs Hall of Famer. Yeah, he was saying Chiefs Hall of Famer.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe it was that.
But sure, go ahead. But no, it was Chiefs talking Chiefs Hall of Famer.
Sorry for extending it a little bit further. But he was, you know, this is the kind of thing we discuss with these guys. I don't see that. The defense I saw against the Texans is legitimately what I would take from the Chiefs week in, week out. No complaints. There'd be things to nitpick every day when we come in here on these Mondays and be like, what went well? What went wrong? Where could they improve? What's Andy going to say they can improve on? Yeah, we're going to find those things. I'm going to tell you that they didn't play well at the linebacker position.
No doubt.
I'm going to tell you they played better than expected at the cornerback position, considering they were without Charvarius Ward, and they were starting a 4th-round rookie in L'Jarius Sneed at the other cornerback spot while their other guy's out. I can tell you those things. It doesn't mean we're not going to find flaws in what they did. But what they were against the Texans was good enough defense. It really was.
It is good enough. You can say that none of the guys that they've come back are going to be viewed as great players, but we don't think that Juan Thornhill is going to get even better as the season goes on. We don't think that the Danas of the world aren't going to get better. We don't think that Snead, as good as he was week one, that he's going to have some bad games. I think we realize that, but he's going to get better. You don't think he gets better? Breland coming back?
You're just saying everybody's going to get better. Are we pretending no one gets worse in football, or... Or where are we going with that?
You're
like
the one telling me that Legarius Sneed's going to get the starting job after week one.
I'm just saying, like, if we say, like, if you're saying Dana's going to get better, Sneed's going to get better, but Pete Keys is going to get better.
Not mentioning Bo Pete Keys. I don't think Keys is going to get on the field.
I know,
much,
but like, we get too far down the road of just
you don't think naturally that if the Chiefs are viewing Dana in this way, you don't think by week 10 he's better than he is week one? You don't think that Juan Thornhill coming off a year of an ACL, by the time we get to week 10, he's not in better position to succeed than he was week one?
It's hard because with Juan Thornhill's injury in particular, even though he's on the field sooner than you thought, most people will tell you it takes you a full year after that year to get the agility back.
Get better as the year goes on. Juan Thornhill's not going to wake up next August and suddenly have the max availability. It's going to gradual progress. You don't think midway through the season he starts to become more of the Juan Thornhill that we had seen his rookie season?
I'm not there yet. Okay. Like I can't be, because like, who do you think's getting worse would be my question. Like, is anyone getting worse in your eyes, or is it just Dana, Bo? And now, look, you think they have the chance to be a top five defense. So your answer might be no to that question this year.
I mean, I say the answer is no, because I believe Willie Gay Jr. will be a starting linebacker by the time the season's over. And so you'll upgrade. And
sure.
whether it's Ben Neiman, Anthony Hitchens actually played okay.
Someone's going to call me a hater in this conversation just because
I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Players do get worse in football.
Sure. I mean, I would ask you who do you think actually is going to get worse?
Multiple guys at the linebacker position. I'm not reading too much into Willie Gay getting zero snaps in week one, but he got zero snaps. So better would be relative in the sense that if he got 20% of the snaps, but if he's not a key contributor at linebacker, they can get worse. Or how about this? People can pick on them more at linebacker. I don't think those players,
this week's a big test for that position group as we look at matchups for the game, man.
At the cornerback position, Legarius Sneed can get worse. He had one really good game. He's still a rookie. Or he could stay the same. How about that? He could be like up and down all season long without a guy who takes a major leap in season to go with it. Again, I'm fine with that. If they stay the same, I'm good. I've got really no complaints. Those would be the ones, or Frank Clark, who you and Bob and maybe one other person said that's the best they've seen Frank Clark look the entire year. You tell me he can't look worse than the best you've seen Frank Clark look in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform? Because I saw a worse version of Frank Clark last year.
Well, for him, I think it's the health. If he stays, of course the caveat.
And health is like everything. Always the dinger of the dinging part of like, did someone get worse than they were? But it's, and this is specifically us talking about the defense, but there are certainly still problems enough on defense that we don't know if they'll get better.
Yeah, look, heading into the season, I'm obviously more bullish on the defense than you are. And it's not, you still think they're saying top 10. So it's not as if you think they're going to be bad. You're still talking about them being a top 10 defense.
Dude, it's hard to be in this day and age, it's hard to be too critical of the Chiefs because I've acknowledged the same show that I think they have a chance to go 16-0 because I do think there's a chance of that. But that doesn't mean like I'm comfortable with where they are. They are an elite offensive unit, probably the best offense in the entire NFL, in my opinion. And then defensively, what I saw against the Texans was good. I'm good. Like, I'm not even nitpicking it too much. We're fine here. It's like, if they take that leap, what you're saying is going to have to happen. Dana is going to have to take a leap. Thornhill is going to have to take a leap. Willie Gay is going to have to get on the field. That's the only way they make that leap.
As far as this game on Sunday against the Chargers, we were just discussing the linebackers. That seems to be, at least if you're thinking about how the Chargers might have some success, other than if Charvarius Ward is out, and there's a decent chance that happens, and it is going to be a huge test for Snead, and he's going to go up against some of their wide receivers, Keenan Allen most notably. But Austin Ekeler and Josh Kelly, they're two backs, and in their screen game and the linebackers that are going to be matched up, that's going to be an area because we know how the linebackers were a year ago. We saw it against the Texans and some of the miscues at the linebacker position. How do the Chiefs linebackers fare against the Chargers running backs? And that's why I keep bringing up Willie Gay Jr.'s name. And I was stunned last week he didn't get a bunch of run. I know Tyrann Mathieu was on with Fesco in the morning, and Ty basically kind of said, hey, Willie Gay Jr., he's running all over the place, but sometimes he doesn't know which way to run, right? Meaning he's not ready. Is that still what's going on? Or is this to me seems like the game where if you felt like he was close, Willie Gay Jr., that is, that you would let him get some more snaps because
you're going to want him for the Ravens?
He might need his athleticism. And yeah, do you want his first game in a, you know, first game, I should say, in a uniform, but first game getting significant or meaningful snaps to be against Baltimore? Maybe you're okay. Maybe you're holding something back. Wouldn't it benefit you to maybe have him get a little run here against the Chargers this week?
I would hope so, because I think that that's the key matchup of the game if we're talking about, remember we said the ways the Chiefs could lose. I do, even more so that I don't think they can lose this game. I think they're going to win it. The reason why this is the key matchup is because it's like the run-up before the run-up. Like the rushing attack and the passing attack of running backs against your linebackers is something both the Chargers and next week against the Baltimore Ravens, you will see. This is like the practice run. You want the dry run? You didn't get preseason? You get it. Against the Chargers, a team you're going to beat, but will attack you in not a perfectly similar way because Tyrod Taylor is not Lamar Jackson on the ground, but in a way that, you know, other teams won't always attack you. So today, like this week, this Sunday, I'll be paying really close attention to see who can guard there. And that's what you're saying. Like, I would like to see Willie Neiman more, or at least some of the athleticism that they've pitched me about, you know, Ben Neiman's ability to be in coverage.
This was Mitch Holt this morning on Fesco in the Morning about Tyrod Taylor and how his ball security might be the key for the Chargers.
It's the big part of this game, in my opinion, bigger than even what I mentioned. Because get this, here's your stat of the morning. Fesco will love this. In the last 4 years, 8 games against the Chargers, the Chiefs have taken the ball away from the Chargers 18 times.
Wow.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, Rivers is an ATM machine. You didn't have to put in the card. He's just handing you the money. And that's going to end with Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's going to make you earn it. He has the lowest interception percentage in NFL history, second to only Aaron Rodgers, which will get the attention of Negator Ryan, the Negator Packerbacker.
That's right.
By the way, they're meeting tonight. The Negator Packerbackers are meeting at the I-70 drive-in again for the Friday night meeting. That being said, Tyrod Taylor will not give you the ball. He won't turn it over. He'll try to stay resourceful. He's going to make you earn everything. And again, keep in mind, if you're thinking, Tyrod Taylor, come on, then we could just pop in the video of the 2017 Chiefs loss to the Bills, 16-10 at Arrowhead, where Taylor just nitpicked him and didn't turn it over, and he's just ornery. I call him feisty. I know how much respect he's got from our players and coaches, and that's a lot.
Look, I'm not going to freak out over Tyrod Taylor, be, you know, worried of Tyrod Taylor, but I think what Mitch is saying there and what I would agree with is you're not going to get the go ahead, give me, you know, you're getting 3 turnovers because you're playing Phillip Rivers. You're not going to get that part of it. But overall, Tyrod Taylor himself, you're not really concerned about him. But are you going to get those gimme turnovers that typically Phillip Rivers brings to the table? Probably not. Now, there haven't been a ton of games played recently, started, I should say, from Tyrod. But it's been since 2018, since he threw an interception. Now, again, I understand he hasn't played many games.
Very relative.
Okay?
He's always been good with the ball.
But yeah,
even when he played
and started 15 games in Buffalo, he had 4 interceptions in 2016. And six interceptions in 2016 and 4 interceptions in 2017. So yeah, he's not someone that turns the ball over. Can the Chiefs certainly make him do that?
He's thrown the ball like 1,300 or 1,400 times. I think when I looked at it, it's just not
right around 1,400.
It that's not very much, man. That's just not very many passing attempts, even for a guy who what? Did he start in Buffalo for like 3 years? I mean, it just doesn't seem like the kind of player that can do anything about it. His touchdown to interception ratio is still not, like, tremendous, considering the fact he doesn't turn it over
54-20.
That much. Yeah, that's the problem. It's fine if you don't turn it over much, but you actually have to score. Like, you have to put the ball in the end zone for the touch, you know, like, because the ratio is still the important part of this equation. It's nice to not turn it over, but getting in the end zone is equally as important as those situations. Now, I get it. Someone's going to tell you, like, you know, Jameis Winston could have cut down that interception rate last year, maybe be a little bit different that he was out here slinging 30 touchdowns. But Tyrod is just like the guy who scares you the absolute least. Because again, on top of it, he hasn't thrown since 2017. All we do is talk about how, like, Colin Kaepernick hasn't played in 4 years, and that's how he did it. Like, anytime people get into that argument, I'm not trying to get into that argument. But it's like, he's probably thrown the ball like 100 more times in that same amount of time he's been out of the league. So it's not exactly saying much. Tyrod Taylor barely played since 2017, maybe a little in 2018.
Yeah, did the Chargers even get to 21 points in this game? I mean, that's and certainly 21.
Yeah,
and 20,
because I think the Chiefs are good for some trash points.
Okay, because 21.
I think the Chiefs are good to give them some trash points.
Because 21, we know, is not enough. You got to at least get to 30, basically. 28, but 30 to have a shot. Kansas City's getting 28. Kansas City's getting in the 30s against you each and every week. It is stunning when that doesn't happen. So are you? If you're the Chargers, I just don't see how they get. And you're right. Maybe there's a garbage touch and that gets them to 21. But are they when the game is still on the line? Are they gonna like? Are we gonna be entering the fourth quarter and the Chargers have 21 points? I will be very surprised entering fourth quarter if the Chargers have 21. They might have 17. They might have 14. The Chiefs might have 34. Might be 17-34 during the fourth quarter. I could see that. I could see something like that playing out. And maybe it looks tighter than what it actually is when it's all said and done. 34-24. The spread's at 9, so it's right around the number as well. So, Chiefs, Chargers, Sunday afternoon.
Last minute. I got to turn carefully. I don't want to break a second chair.
You're going to break another chair today?
I was turning carefully.
What's wrong with that chair?
Nothing. I just don't want to break two today.
Levine's not going to be happy. That one gets broken. Yeah. That one's it's the back extra back cushion for you.
I don't like it. It sits too high.
The day after the Big Ten decided to resume the football season, local officials announced University of Wisconsin had over 40 football players and staff members test positive for COVID-19.
40? Oh, so when they got that announcement Big Ten season was canceled, they just really threw caution to the wind, huh? Is that what I'm supposed to assume about that story?
Yeah, they must not be big mask wearers.
42. What was their cutoff rate? 5% of any teams before they cancel a game? And they have like a strict like multi-week policy in theirs. College football, man, I'm still curious to find out how well it does. It's done. Some of the bigger conferences have done okay, but that is a much harder one to police than the professional schools, is it not?
Well, totally. Absolutely. You just don't have, you know, they're student, you know, we joke about the term student athlete all the time, but when you're dealing with 18-year-olds versus 24-year-olds or 22-year-olds or older than that, 30-year-olds that are making millions of dollars, their careers are on the line, and you're just it's going to be harder to have some of that buy-in. And we'll find out in October. The good thing for Wisconsin and these players and staff members, if all goes well for them too, is they got a month. They got a month to get things squared away before their season starts up. But it is going to be interesting. A lot of these programs haven't been going through some of the strength and conditioning, so making sure that from the other injuries, we focus in on COVID risk, but there's still significant risk for these college athletes that haven't been ready to be physically ready to avoid other injury, injuries, period, that may or may not happen come the start of the college football season for the Big Ten. A light college football slate this weekend, and then the Big 12, SEC, everybody gets going next Saturday on the 26th. Coming up next, we head into the noon hour. We'll get to what's trending. Other chance also at a large pizza from our friends over at the other place. And Cody says the Chiefs should be doing this again in week two.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.